Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast, a show where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories, we tell yours, and our favorite is when you tell your own on the podcast. We're here to laugh with you, cry with you, cringe with you, and as always, bring some levity and laughter to your day. I'm Katie.
And I'm Mary Kate.
Let's turn Beat Red. How was your week? I'm doing it first.
No. The only thing that I have to say is that we talk about, like, what are you watching, right? And I'm always in my head about it because I'm like, I didn't see anything. But I did see a movie called Pressure.
Okay.
It's with Andrew Scott and Brandon Fraser, and it's about D-Day, and it's about Eisenhower and a meteorologist they hired to predict the weather on that day. And Andrew Scott, this is a hot take. I'm going to lose more listeners. I think he is the best actor I've ever seen.
Wow. Like,
he is so good. He's done so much, and there are multitudes in him, and I just would watch him read the phone book if they still
exist. So it was really good.
It was great. I highly recommend it. Yeah.
I saw Backrooms.
Oh, what'd you see?
Sorry. I saw Backrooms.
Tell me what is it?
It is so bizarre, and it's meant to be bizarre, but it's pretty hilarious because it's based off of, like, an urban legend from Reddit. It's like a Reddit story from Urban Legend. But I don't want to give anything away. And I think it's kind of good to know nothing. But I knew nothing about it. I just, like, went into it. Like, but I think they do kind of give away that this, you know, furniture store owner who's pretty miserable with his life ends up discovering this, like, liminal space that he, like, goes through the wall and enters that's another dimension that's, like, behind the furniture store, and he's trying to figure it out. He has a therapist that ends up getting wrapped up into it, and kids that work for him, and, like, it is a wild, trippy ride, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was pretty fascinating and pretty interesting.
Is it a sci-fi or is it thriller?
I think it's technically a horror. It's in the horror genre, but I would say it's more of a sci-fi type thing because it is dealing with, like, you know, parallel dimensions, universes, like, whatever you want to, you know, say. So I think, yeah, it was probably more sci-fi. I didn't find it scary personally. It is, you know, there were definitely horror elements to it, and there were some creepy things in it. There was definitely creepy characters in it. I think it's technically a horror, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Okay. I mean, I might check that out. I'm going to think about it.
I think you could do it. I know you don't like horror, but I think you could do it.
Well, I've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire because you told me about it. And I can barely handle that. Like, I can barely handle that. I have to turn it off halfway through every time because I'm like, oh, my God, I think I saw something in the corner of my eye. Why did it get colder in here? You know, like, I feel like it happens was the more I listen to it.
Yeah.
Like, more paranormal activity
opening
happens.
Opening yourself up.
I can't. I don't want to do it.
I went to this thrift store. It's not really a thrift store. It's this, is it called the Hollyhock Home? I need to look up what it's even called, which is terrible. I'm going to do, this will be out before this episode where I'll do a thrifting reel on it. But there's this store called Somerset Choice in Princess Anne. And they also work with this. There's, like, a museum in front of it. And then the back house, they've curated this old house with all of these beautiful vintage items. And it's very affordable. I was kind of shocked. Like, massive, gorgeous mirrors for, like, $50. Beautiful rugs for, like, $50. Like, really crazy cheap prices.
Love that.
But I walked in there and I was like, woo, this is haunted.
Really?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. By a lot of people? Were there a lot of people in there, do you think?
I mean, it's an old home, and it has energy in there. It didn't feel like bad energy, but it was heavy. Like, I always feel, like, pressure in my head.
Yes.
But I asked the guy who took me over there because they weren't open, but they took me over to do a little, like, preview because they're going to be open on Wednesday of last week when this comes out. I was like, so you know this is haunted, right? I'm like, does everybody know that? And he was like, yeah. And he said that he hasn't seen anything or doesn't know anyone that has, but yeah, you can feel it. It's like, it's heavy.
Whoa.
It's heavy energy.
It's silent, right? Like a silence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But very cool.
Okay.
Very cool.
And yeah. I like that. I mean, I interrupted you, so.
Oh, I was just going to say that I've been working on my bathroom. Hopefully by the time this episode airs, I'll be done with it because, oh my God, I did the wallpaper, which I love, but then I decided, like, I don't like the look of the wallpaper meeting the ceiling without crown molding. It really needs crown molding to just elevate it.
Okay.
I've always heard it was so complicated. I'm like, I got no crown molding. How hard can it be? My brother like lent me his miter saw and his nail gun. And I was like, I'm going to figure this out. It is real complicated because
oh, no.
It's like super mathematical. But the problem is I have an old home. So the corners are not 90 degree angles like they should be. They're all slightly different. So you have to make the cuts exact to what the angle is. And for an outer cut, you have to like turn the saw to cut a certain way. And then you have to turn it the other way to cut. So you can't, because I was like, why can't I just put the wood in like this? I mean, people who are just listening can't see what I'm doing. I'm doing it on the screen. But I'm like, why can't I just put the wood in the machine, cut the 45 degree angle, and then turn the wood this way and cut the 45 degree angle?
Yeah.
No, you can't. You have to turn it each time because it's making like these minor interior and exterior cuts. So then I learned there's this thing called coping where you can take one piece of the molding and just put it as is on the wall. Then you take another piece, you cut a 45 degree angle, and you essentially like have to shave away everything underneath of it. And then it caps on top of the one that's cut straight so that it's flush. It's a whole thing. So I ordered a special tool to try coping. I'm going to try to do it. But I'm like, damn, I just literally thought I could just measure, make the cuts, and freaking stick it on the wall. But it is so complicated.
I'm glad you said that because there's so many times I'm watching Instagram reels with people doing that. And I'm like, oh, that looks so easy. Like, oh, that's easy.
Yeah, they're just like tacking it up on the wall. And there's, you know, there's ones that you can order on Amazon that are essentially like foam and do seem pretty easy. But to get those corners right is very, very difficult. So
and
I'm,
it's because your house has shifted.
And
your house
shifted.
Has shifted over time. Wow.
Yep. So I'm
but you're doing
see,
it.
But I'm going to do it because I really have the vision for it. And this, it's funny because it's the smallest room in the house, but this powder room is going to be like the nicest place in the house.
That's awesome.
I've ordered all of the cutest little like soaps and soap holders and, you know, even the trash can's freaking cute, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm like, it's got to be the vision that I'm envisioning and I need to have the crown molding. So I'm going to figure it out. Hopefully by the time this airs, you'll be able to see that on my Instagram. I hope so.
Yes. Well, I will be waiting for it. And I think you should never let anyone go in there. Just make it one of those. Like, no, you're not going in there. Do not use that bathroom. You cannot use that bathroom.
No, yep. Everyone's got to go in and they got to see it. They got to wash
their
hands.
They can look
hands.
At it. They can't use it.
No, I even got
it's
like
too
nice
special.
Soap. It's like a whole thing.
Did you get like one like, of those bidet toilets that has the warm seat? That like the seat goes up when you approach it?
We did, but it doesn't work in our bathroom. Well, it's not that kind where the seat goes up. It was a bidet, the electric kind, but there's nowhere to plug it in. So we're moving that
got
one
it.
Upstairs and we're just getting a regular toilet for the downstairs. But
love
we will
it.
Put a bidet attachment in because those are a must everywhere.
I love it. If anything yeah, happens embarrassing, you better tell us about it on the podcast.
I obviously will. Do you want me to kick us off?
Yes, kick us off.
I'll do it. Okay. The first story comes from Cora, and Jenny James writes, summer 2021, the head-up display had gone faint in my car, and I tried the contrast with no luck. I told my husband, he checked it out and said it was fine. The next day, I was out driving, and the HUD, which stands for head-up display, so like when she's looking at her car with like her clock and all of her radio and everything, it just looks really faint every time she gets in the car, and she's like, what the heck? So I was out driving the next day and the HUD was definitely dull. I told my husband again, he checked it out again and said I was crazy. The next time I was out, it was dull again and I phoned the car garage because I was in warranty and they suggested dropping it off and they would have a quick look. I dropped it off and they couldn't find anything wrong with it either. I got back in and it was still dim. I grabbed the mechanic again. He came back and immediately realized the problem. It was summer. And my new sunnies were polarized, which has an effect on vertical light.
Get out of here. Her glasses were adjusting every time she got into
on. She had sunglasses on. Gosh. So she kept being like, something's wrong. I can't see my display. Like, what is happening?
And
oh,
like,
how my husband ribbed me every time we got in the car for weeks and how blonde I felt at the garage. That's so embarrassing.
So
like, no, there's really something wrong. Like, look, every time I get in the car, he's like, take your sunglasses off and look at it.
She's like, I can't, the prescription. So they're what are those called? Those
polarized. They're polarized. Yeah. But that would be whenever I can't, because I wear sunglasses all the time. I love sunglasses. And whenever I can't see something clearly, I always take my sunglasses down to be like, wait, like what? So it's funny that that thought like didn't even occur. Like this looks dim. Like it's hilarious. But the fact that you made an appointment at the garage and took it in, they're like, you dumb. Take your glasses down.
Take your glasses off. Like, don't blame us. Don't blame your car. It's you. You are the problem.
At least he saw it.
Yeah, I know. They didn't take the whole engine apart and they're like, oh, I don't know what's going on. This must be a recall. Like, they're like, your car is in parts. If you get a new one. Just kidding. Wow, that's a good story. That's embarrassing. It's the simplest things can just get you.
It's a little dumb blonde moment.
It's funny. Okay, well, this is from Reddit. And Medical Warthog 9947 writes, while working at a daycare, a kid refused to come back in from the playground. He was hiding under some playground equipment, and I couldn't fit under there to get him. So I was sitting next to the hole he had crawled through, pleading with him to come out. At one point, I said, come on, kid, cut me a fucking break. The kid started giggling. I realized what I had said and was so embarrassed, to which I said, shit, I'm sorry. I should have said that. Then realizing that I had just cussed again in front of the child, proceeded to say, fuck, again.
Oh, my God.
The kid thought it was hilarious and ended up coming out and walking in with me. Neither of us said anything to the lead teacher and went about the day like I hadn't just cussed like a sailor in front of him. That's so funny. That's what got him out.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you said some bad words. Okay, I'll come out.
He's like, this guy's cool.
You're my best friend.
This guy checks out. Like it.
Love it.
This next story comes from Cora, and CV writes, I wanted to paint my kitchen floor, so I bought this paint that dries in 15 minutes. First, I had to get the floor mopped and dried. So I rolled out this turquoise paint, and it just wasn't drying fast enough. So my brilliant mind thought, hey, I have that leaf blower I've never used. So I get this leaf blower, and I turn it on. It's one of those huge, powerful leaf blowers.
Nice.
I plug it in and it automatically turned on and knocked me on my ass. I could barely keep a hold of it as it was blowing everything off the walls.
I love this.
All of a sudden, stuff started falling from the ceiling and I was dumbfounded looking up like, what the hell is that? Oh my God. 2 days prior, I put my dog's grooming table up in my kitchen, and as you can imagine, their hair goes everywhere. I have 4 Yorkies. When I finished grooming, I swept the floor and mopped it to make sure there was no hair everywhere. Well, the sky was raining with dog hair from underneath my stove. Disgusting. I didn't think their hair would get all the way under there. It was literally raining dog hair right on top of my freshly painted, semi-wet, beautiful turquoise floor. LOL. Trust me, I'm never grooming my dogs in the kitchen again. And I hope you never use a leaf blower to dry your paint again. That's hilarious.
Don't do that. I know, but also like, whoa. So you have like a hairy, wet floor after that.
I know. And just picturing her like turning it on and it's like, ka-chung, like a shotgun. And she just flies back. She's flinging all around, blowing everything off the walls, like can't get control. It's hilarious.
I love that so much. I love that. My son Elliot is into this song. It's raining tacos from out of the sky. You know that song? Probably not. Well, that just reminded me, like, it's raining dog hair.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Everywhere. Yikes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I that would be my nightmare, is to have to groom 4 dogs. Oh.
Well, just thinking of all the hair that's on, I mean, it just makes me homicidal to think about all the hair that is now in
the
wet paint.
No.
That
and then what do you do? You have to.
Infuriating.
You have to, like,
have to strip it. She probably has to use a paint stripper, yeah.
And then do it again. Just let it air dry, lady. Put up some signs. No breakfast, lunch, or dinner for a couple of days. Go out to eat.
Yeah. Tell your Yorkies, don't you walk in there.
Put your Yorkies outside.
Yeah.
Man, okay. That's why I don't have Yorkies. All right. Yes, that's it. Okay. So the next one is from Reddit, and Cunning Slytherin writes, once upon a time, I was a young lady, fresh out of high school and new to the jobs and office settings. We had about 50 people on the office floor, and it was mostly low cubicles. I spent a decent amount of the day out of my seat. I was the youngest in the office by at least 10 years, and everyone used that as an excuse to make me their gopher. And I really didn't mind because they weren't rude and it seemed like a way to get to know people. We finally had a casual Friday about a month into my being there. I was nervous. My casual clothes weren't work appropriate. So I went shopping and bought a nice pair of jeans, early 2000s, so think not low cut, not whale tail risk. A cute top and boots.
Yeah, it was that like early 2000s was all like low cut, risky. Yeah. Like, what did you even buy? Like, there's like all your tails in the 2000s. Yeah.
Yeah, your hips got like their circulation cut off. About an hour before the day ended, I felt like it had been such a good day. Everybody had been extra nice and asked me to go make copies or accept packages more than usual, but were thanking me profusely. Silly me. I thought it was just my great personality winning them over. Finally, a woman cornered me in the restroom and was like, I know you don't want to be lectured about fashion from an older lady, but I have been trying to figure out if that's the fashion these days or if you have a wardrobe malfunction. I was completely perplexed and asked what she meant. She gently touched my shoulders and turned me around so I was facing away from the big stretch of mirror above the sinks. My heart was racing because I just couldn't imagine what was happening and didn't know if she was about to make a joke, but halfway convinced she was because I just bought this business casual outfit and had been wearing it all day. She said, turn your head and look at your butt. I started to laugh because, yes, it's def a prank. She just stared back at me. So I look over my shoulder and see that from the middle seam and outwards to the back pockets, the denim had completely frayed. Like, what? Imagine the knees of your jeans becoming frayed and see-through, but the fabric is still holding on, so it's not an actual hole.
But how could she do? How could that happen? And if she only just bought them,
I think maybe I don't know. I have no idea. That's it. Yeah. I mean, maybe it was like a really thin material that just like was really cheaply made or something. And that's when I realized people had been extra nice and asked me to do extra errands because my panties were clearly visible through the fraying and people were basically laughing at me behind my back all day.
Aww.
When the lady who pointed it out to me saw the look on my face, she left and came back with a sweater from her desk. She tied it around my waist for the rest of the day. I know it doesn't involve making mistakes, but that was the most embarrassing job moment I've ever had. Don't be too embarrassed about making mistakes. This is the best advice. That's how we learn. I realized over time that bosses didn't care about mistakes so much as I kept making the same mistake over and over. Just learn from them and you'll be a star.
Yeah, I always say that. You know, you're supposed to make mistakes because that is how you learn. If you don't make any mistakes, you don't learn anything. You know, you have to make a mistake to learn. But if you do keep making the same mistakes, that
gets you fired.
That is the definition of insanity. Okay. Yep. My next story comes from Cora, and Hannah Toto writes, my friend and I were sitting in health class playing Minecraft while everyone else was just chilling doing who knows what, and suddenly the speakers blared. We are having a lockdown. I repeat, we are having a lockdown. I felt my heart sink as my classmates glanced at each other with shocked faces. My head was relaying all of the different possibilities the attacker could get to us. Oh, the fucker could have bashed through the windows or slammed the door down. How in the world is this happening? We live in flipping Australia, not America.
I was like, That's so damn funny. Shots fired.
Everyone was getting worried, contemplating whether it was real or not. The boys started shuffling in their spots, and the girls began screaming and crying and hugging each other. The teacher looked pretty calm, despite the seriousness of the situation, and commanded the boys sitting near the windows to close the blinds. My inner leader decided to come out, and I took control of the class. I love this kid. She's like, I'm going to step the fuck up. You got your teacher? But she's like, no. I got this, guys. All right, guys. I know, my worst Australian accent ever. All right, guys. I loudly reprimanded the anxious class. If this is real, we're going to beat the living shit out of this guy. We're going to rush him and throw our chairs at his motherfucking face. All right?
Damn, girl. You nailed it.
Those who were that was really bad, but just you excuse that, Australians, okay?
No, it was perfect.
Those who were brave enough agreed and gripped their chairs. The teacher said nothing. One guy said she'd smash the guy with the legs of her desk with all her might, which I was proud of. Some guys were still freaking out near the window, but most of them were determined on my idea. The atmosphere was intense, as if time suddenly stopped. The dust drifted slowly through the classroom, sweat trickling down our faces. Then the speaker spoke again. The practice lockdown procedure has ended. You may continue your classes. Everyone looked at each other with the most dumbfounded looks on their faces. Then the teacher spoke. Guys, if that were a real life situation, all of you could have gotten hurt. None of you calmed down and just kept talking. The attacker could have heard you right outside. You guys disappointed me. Oh, instead damn. Of calmly hiding underneath the desks like we should have, I encouraged my classmates to stand up and work together. In the process, I was also really loud. If that was the real thing, I could have been responsible for the lives of my classmates. Oh. Please, if you're ever in this situation, don't do what I did. It's best to stay put, quiet, and hope for a rescue.
Oh, my God.
She's, like, loudly shot. Yeah, where you at? I'm going to fuck you up. She's like, the teacher's like, shh.
Yeah, like, you just basically outed us. That's so, that's a really unique one. That's, I know. That is very
it's
embarrassing.
It's so random and funny.
But, yeah, that's so wild.
She got,
oh my God.
She disappointed her teacher, almost killed her classmates.
I know.
She's like, I'm taking charge. She's like,
I'm
going to
bite his ear off. Like, she's just like, you're going crazy. She's like, this one's going to get nail guns right into the eyeballs. Like, you're like, she's like, gross.
It's wow, so funny. I know. I thought that was that. Hilarious, though, that in her little mind, she was like, all right, guys, we're doing it. She's like,
yeah.
Let's go.
I wonder where she is today.
Australian, but.
Do you know? No, Katie,
she's a
stop
bad
dissing
bitch,
your Australian, okay?
Okay?
She is
well,
a bad
it
bitch.
Is bad. I'm not going to say it's good, but she is a little badass, and I love that
one,
for her.
I think your accent rules. Two, she's a badass, and I love that for her, too. We love that for you. You're
we
a badass.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, amazing. Okay, this is from Reddit, and Bashimi Superfan69 writes, soccer story. In high school, we did speed and conditioning at the same time as the girls' team did in the summer. After, both the boys' and girls' team would play a pickup game separately. One session, the girls finished before us and were walking off the field while we were finishing our game. To win the game, I made it through the other team dribbling and was wide open on an empty net. The girls were walking behind the net, watching me close down on an open goal with the ball. I tried to Rabona it into the net to impress them, but ended up tripping over myself and falling on my face, not scoring. they all laughed at me, and never was I ever able to talk to any of them again.
No, that's so embarrassing. The it's old just trip and fall when you're like feeling yourself and you're like confident and everyone's watching you and then you just fucking bust your ass in front of everyone. Yeah. That's again that little humility embarrassment demon.
Yep. The embarrassment demon's just like, not today. And Rabona fail.
Rabona
and I looked at
right
what a Rabona
ass.
Rabona on your bona. You can cut that if you want. You can cut that. But
no,
say,
keep it.
I looked up Rabona, yeah. And it's this move where you, like, you're running and then you kick your up leg. No one can see me do this, but your leg behind your leg that's running, and you kick the goal with, like, the opposite leg, so it looks like a little dance move kick. And that's something you should be looking
for. There's a kid on Sebastian's team that – well, he used to be on Sebastian's team. He's not actually in this current season, but – We like crack up. He's so cute and so funny. And we call him like the Jamiroquai of soccer. Like he literally is like doing all of these, like he's clearly been practicing at home like crazy, but he probably did that one. Like he's doing all of these crazy moves and he like dances around the field and has so much energy. And like, it's
I
so cute.
That.
He's like a little soccer Jamiroquai.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, we love
That's
it.
So cool.
My last story comes from Cora, and Ashley Thomas writes, at the beginning of the 2015-2016 school year, I had just reached high school. My school has a zero-hour program where if you desire, you can take an extra class an hour earlier, usually to get a core class out of the way and cram in another elective or retake a previously failed class. One morning, I arrived at school earlier than usual because my dad took me instead of the bus. While I was there, the senior English class was having their 0 hour on the Roman conquest of England. If you check the little description next to my name, you'll see that I like history. I was like, what?
Perfect.
That's so cute.
That's cute.
Naturally, I was fascinated. I'm like, I would be like, goodbye. Like, no thanks.
You would?
I was not into history at all. No, I would not care at all. It might as well be like, wah, 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 wah. But I love that she loved it. I love her little history buff enthusiasm. It's so cute.
You're not saying pressure. Go on.
That doesn't sound so dumb, you might think, but I'm not done. This is where my brain dead stupidity came into play. Instead of either quietly asking the teacher if I could sit down and observe or just sitting down on one of the nearby couches and listening like a sensible person, I decided to do the totally logical and not insane at all thing. I crouched behind one of the library bookshelves.
What?
And listened to part of the lecture. It was fascinating. She's just crouched down behind the bookshelf, peeping a little, or a peeping Tom of the ears, whatever that's called, a hearing Tom. She's a little hearing Tom behind the bookshelf, which is hilarious to me to picture.
That is so cute.
And she's a freshman, and there are seniors, and she's like, history. She's
like laughing. You took it too far.
Which is hilarious.
Why can't you just be like, oh, this sounds interesting? She has to be like, oh, history.
History. Because she has to. She has to. Okay. It's fun.
Okay.
Okay. The teacher at one point put on a YouTube video, possibly Crash Course or something from the History Channel, and then walked up behind me and said, you know you don't have to hide behind a shelf if you want to listen.
Legend.
My face turned the shade of blood and I nearly passed out from embarrassment. A few months later, my new acquaintance, Mulan, I say new acquaintance, I'd met her earlier that day after she caught me playing a video game instead of listening to our personal financial literacy teacher. Anyway, she decided I needed to join the academic team because there was no one covering news editing as the topic, and I was one of the best journalism students.
Wow, great.
So guess who the academic team sponsor is? The same teacher whose lecture I spied on. As soon as I saw him again, the embarrassment of that moment of stupidity hit me like a tsunami off the coast of Tokyo. And even though it had been at least 4 months since I'd seen him, the first words out of his mouth to me were, aren't you that girl who hid behind a bookshelf and spied on my class?
Teach, let's like know when to like not have loose lips like that.
And you know he said it in front of like everyone. And she's like, yeah. I know, isn't that rude? I was like, come on, let her have it.
You
know,
he
would have seen her poor little sweet face when he said that, where she turned bright red and was mortified because she was like so excited just listening to his little history lesson behind the bookshelf.
Like, and all he saw was like her little head, probably just like her little hair, like hiding.
He like put on a video. I was like, girl, what are you doing?
Yeah. But also, like, come on. She's a history buff. Like, let's applaud those.
It's so cute. Like, why are you being like that? It's rude.
Why are you doing that? And also, why are you, like, making her, like, don't squelch her desire to
know
more about
this
world.
When you see they're embarrassed. I know there's two types of people, I feel like. People who see that someone's embarrassed and, like, try their best to make them comfortable. And then people who see that and they're like, let's freaking, like, you know,
let's poke it
further. Yeah.
Yeah, let's take the knife in the further. Well, and also as a teacher, I feel like it's your responsibility to, like, celebrate someone for wanting to, you know, it's a compliment to you that they like your class. So, but that's really funny, though, that she sounds like she's a badass. She's a bad bitch.
She's a little bad.
She's a bad bitch somewhere.
Bitch.
I love it. Okay, so this is from a woman who wrote to us, but she just wants to remain anonymous.
All right.
But I really appreciate her story. It's
real weird. We accept
that.
We'll take anonymous, too. You can always be anonymous, guys.
Yeah. And this story, I'm glad she sent it. When I was teaching middle school, there was one mother in particular that I'll never forget. She was a lot. She was very put together and everything had its perfect place with her. She found weird ways to weave litigation into conversations if she felt we weren't paying close enough attention to her daughter. She was the kind of mom who would, She was the kind of mom who would take a presumed 10-minute teacher conference and stretch it into the next morning. Very type A and very uppity. Her daughter was a delight, but the entire staff dreaded having to interact with her. The kids would bring their lunches to school and hang them on the back of their chairs as there were no cubbies or lockers. One afternoon, I noticed something dripping onto the floor behind this woman's daughter's chair. I went to take a closer look, and it looked like blood was dripping from her plastic lunch bag. I was horrified, but without trying to alarm her, I asked her what she'd brought for lunch that day. She looked down and was horrified at the blood. Quickly opening her bag, she shrieked and dropped it onto the floor. This is the most bizarre thing, but what was in the bag was a placenta.
Ew! What?
It had been frozen and had slowly thawed out over the course of the day. Her daughter must have grabbed the wrong bag somehow for lunch. Who knows? Everyone in the class shrieked, and I calmly picked up the bag and carried it to the closet.
Oh my God.
I was horrified as well, thinking that this was the most bizarre thing I'd ever witnessed. You can imagine my glee at having to call her mother and tell her that her daughter brought a placenta to school. She was rattled, to say the least. She apologized profusely and told me that she'd frozen her placenta with the intention of taking it to be encapsulated at a later date for digestion, which a lot of people
do. But this is years that have gone by. Her daughter's in school. Like, at that point, like, throw it out. You're supposed to do it right away.
You're supposed to do it, like, within 24 hours, right?
Pretty soon. I didn't do it, but you're supposed to do it like right away.
Yeah, I have a ton of friends who've done that, and it happens right away. That's what I thought
later,
too. But I can't believe.
But what did the daughter think it was? I mean, was she eating liver for lunch?
Well, they're clearly like, if it's frozen, she grabbed it from the freezer. So, like, what was her lunch going to be? That's my question.
That is not answered. Okay,
That is not
an uncrustable.
A Lunchable.
A strawberry uncrustable.
So she said that. She was going to get it encapsulated at a later date for digestion. We were both silent for a moment after she said that because I was just enjoying having the upper hand for once, which
is
so
petty. Yeah, let her be uncomfortable. Yeah.
But it's so funny, too, because she's like, your daughter brought a placenta to school. And the lady's like, well, I was going to eat that.
Well, yeah, like you were going to eat that. Like, if the daughter's old enough to be packing her own lunch and grabbing placentas, then... Your time has passed on the placenta. Okay?
Then it's time to throw it out.
I don't know how long. Look, I'm not an expert on placenta freezing, but I'm going to go ahead and say that placenta is done. I think
that's done.
I think she did you a favor and that had to get thrown out. That was that.
And also, I think this woman probably forgot about it, right? But can you imagine?
Clearly.
This placenta is just in your freezer for that long.
I just am so curious how you get a placenta. Like, what did she think she was getting? Like, how did she think that
what
could be a
lunch
item? What
did she think she was getting?
Like a burger patty without the bun? Like, what
could
you possibly?
Oh, no. So I imagined it. I'm not sure, but I imagined it. It was already in a bag. And maybe that bag looked like her lunch bag. Like, if it's in a plastic bag.
I was picturing, like, inside a plastic bag. And she, like, grabbed a plastic bag and then put it with other stuff. But, yeah, so maybe it was, like, in, like a bag.
In,
like
a grab bag.
And she thought her mom had done it or something. I don't know. That's crazy.
God, but you still feel how cold it was. You'd still probably check it out. But, I mean, whatever. Kids are always in a rush for school, so.
Yeah, that's a wild story.
So then she writes, then I said, well, you can come and get it anytime today. She thanked me and hung up. Satisfied that the playing field had been evened, I sauntered down to the teacher's lounge to refrigerate the placenta. So she's going to put it in the teacher's lounge.
Oh, my God.
That's so crazy.
Biohazard, dude.
it is, dude.
No, that is a biohazard. And it leaked blood on the floor and stuff.
And everyone saw it.
That's wild.
And her backpack is covered in placenta blood, too, by the way. BTW.
Oh, I hope that mom.
Someone's going to keep the
laundry. Stop being crazy.
There's something that, like, is about, like, that buttoned-up mother that, like, is underneath. There's some kind of placenta saving, which is fine. Obviously, I do not care about the placenta saving. I just think it's funny that, like, her perfect world was shattered when her daughter brought her placenta to school that day.
Yeah. But that's karma, you know? That's how it goes.
Yeah, it's how it goes, hopefully.
That's our show. We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And if you've got a story that made you turn beet red, you can email us at beetredpodcast@gmail.com.
And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you can't beat them,
join us. See you next week.